Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Well, you know what that means. That means Dan Burns is in studio helping you out with your car care questions this morning. Dan Burns is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you, Dan.
Well, good morning, Denny. Thank you. To you, too.
Yeah, thanks very much. How was your week?
It was good.
Yeah. Busy as usual, I'm sure.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, well, that's good. We always want to keep busy. That's the intention. That's why you were, as my old boss used to say, you asked for work when you came here.
That's about right, isn't it?
I don't know if I like that or not.
Yeah, right.
If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you're a regular listener, you know that Dan is with us for a limited amount of time. He'll take his leave here in about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car care question, and you need to bring in your vehicle, your car, your truck, your van to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer for some service, but you want to know ahead of time what might be wrong with it, give Dan a chance to analyze that over the radio and see what happens. There's one number to remember, and that number is 651-461-9226. You can call in your car care question, or you can text it, whatever is easier for you this morning, 651-461-9226. Again, don't wait, because Dan is with us for a little over a half hour from now. So let's hear your car care questions. You and I were briefly talking, and I want to hear more about this. And we get these questions from time to time on the show, electric cars or gas versus electric. You had kind of a personal story. What about a friend or neighbor of yours?
Yeah, a neighbor of mine recently bought a plug-in hybrid Volvo. And so it's kind of a combination of a gas engine and a battery, like any hybrid is. But this is a little bit, maybe one step closer to an electric car in that at night when you get home, you plug it in. And she said it will go, 15 or 20 miles before it actually starts to run on gas. And so it... there are many trips that she takes with it where the engine never starts. It just runs on the electric part. And so that's like I said, it's a little more electric than your typical hybrid has been up to this point with the plug-in feature on it.
And don't you think, I mean, it seems like I'm stating the obvious, Captain Obvious here, that year by year they're going to be perfecting these electric cars, whether they be hybrid or fully electric, as we go along. You know, longer distance travel-wise, quicker charging maybe. Now, what kind of a plug-in might this be? Is this like a regular 120 outlet that you can charge?
You know? I'm not sure. I haven't seen what's in their garage.
Sure.
But, there's a... There's on the front fender, there's a cover, looks kind of like a gas cover that you plug the cable into. And so it must be something a little different. But I think it probably is just 120 volt, because I've never seen anybody or never heard a story about them having to rewire their garage or anything for it. So it must just run on regular.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, more and more vehicle makers are going to that. All right.
Last thought on that,
sure,
is I also have heard and read that that they're making progress in the production and the perfection of the batteries that they're using in the electric cars, and they're also making strides towards making them recyclable. In other words, they'll take an old battery out of an electric car and refurbish it, and make it good again. And there's some companies that are getting into that business. So there's lots of business things going on that are going to also help to make electric cars more efficient and easier to use.
I remember when I first got into my son Tony's hybrid, it was. I said, "Well, you better start it." He says, "No, it's running. it's so quiet. I don't know if I'd get used to that." But and eventually you can get the engine to kick in. But
on some of them, when you put it in reverse, there's a speaker that makes a noise because they're so quiet. They think they're not safe when you're backing up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You got to get used to it. Let's grab a phone call from Tom, who is calling in from, I believe, Osseo this morning. Tom, you're on CCO with Dan Burns. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a 99 Tahoe with a fuel problem. I actually installed a replacement fuel pump in it and got it from a local parts shop here in Napa, and the symptoms were that you would put the car into gear and it would stumble and die, and yet when it's idling and not under load, you could rev the thing up to 5,000-6,000 RPMs. I was told that perhaps the fuel pump was bad from manufacturer, so I threw another one in, and it's doing the same situation. Had a couple of guesses on diagnostics, just wanted to kind of get your opinion on it. At this point, they're thinking possibly the fuel injectors may not be performing up to par, but the other one that was just recently thrown in was there's a device, of course, called a fuel pressure regulator, which, and this little gem is located underneath the plastic intake shroud, which you have to pull the whole top of that off to get at it. It's a little thread, spool of thread size, device. And pretty much that's about the only thing left is those two options. And I picked up the fuel pressure regulator, and I'm going to, on a warm day or whatever, pull the top of it. It's a plastic shroud. I guess you got to get gaskets and all that. But I'm just wondering if you have any other thoughts on other than that. Again, you can rev the thing up to 5,000-6,000 RPMs. It's a 57-pound minimum fuel pressure requirement, and I guess as soon as it drops below that, that's where you get the problem. And again, it's idling any other time, as long as it's not in gear. She purrs like a kitten. So I'm wondering if do you have any other thoughts on that, that might be otherwise? But
yeah, I think that you might be on the right track, but I think what I would do is a little bit more diagnostics on it and see if you can't zero in on what's going on with the car. And by that, I mean, I probably would put a fuel pressure regulator on it, or no, I'm sorry, not a fuel pressure regulator, a fuel pressure gauge on it, and see what's actually happening with the fuel pressure when it's under those conditions. If the fuel pressure is indeed dropping off, if it's for sure low fuel pressure that's causing the problem, then you perhaps are on the right track where the fuel pressure regulator is not working correctly or something like that. But a new fuel pump didn't help. And the other thing that I would do if the car was in my shop is I would hook it up to my computer and, do some diagnostics on the rest of the engine, make sure that all of the input signals from the crank sensor and all of that sort of stuff from the transmission, make sure all of those inputs to the computer are accurate, and then make sure that the computer's calculating that right and sending out the correct information in all the outputs. So I don't know. I think before I kept throwing parts at it, I would maybe you might have to pay for some diagnostics to get to the bottom of it, but you might find that that's cheaper than putting, and a lot easier than just putting parts in it.
All right, very good. Dan, let's take a break. And we come back on the other side, we'll pick up on some text messages from our listeners. Here's the phone number. It's also the text number for your car care questions for Dan Burns, 651-461-9226. 16 degrees here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Thank you. Good morning. Denny Long here, and thanks for joining us on our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, and thanks to the help you get from ASC-certified technician Dan Burns. He hangs out at a place called Lloyd's Automotive on, well, where exactly are you, Dan, there on Grand Avenue?
Well, thanks for asking. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web, Denny, at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Yes, and we always get questions from time to time. Who's Lloyd? Is there a Lloyd? Was there a Lloyd? Yes, there was a Lloyd originally. That was his last name, right?
That was his last name. His name was Howard Lloyd, and he started the business in 1946, and it has evolved over that period of time from a two-bay gas station to the monster that we have built here now. And he actually owned the gas station across. He had two stations right across the street from each other, controlling his competition. this one stuck, and here we are now.
Yeah, beautiful place, too. I know you've really... now, how long has this location been around? Then we'll get back to the questions here. But I'm trying to think when you remodeled.
I bought it in 1990, and I remodeled it in 1998.
Wow.
And the interesting thing during when we were actually remodeling it and rebuilding the building, which was a major ordeal,
yeah,
we never shut down. We kept it operating through the construction process, which was a challenge. But we were able to pull it off.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we'll get now, how do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, come on over, 98, and take a look at the building. That we work. So we're at 982 Grand Avenue, or you can give us a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So don't wait. If you have a car care question, please call us or send a text. Same number for either your phone call or text message, 651-461-9226. Here's a text, Dan. It says they have a 2020 Equinox. Listener said, I had to turn off the traction control. Oh, it just jumped off the screen here. Because of spinning on ice. Do I need to turn it back on, or is this automatic?
I'm not sure if it's automatic or not. But if you chose to turn it off by pushing a button, I don't know if when you restart the car, if it'll default back to on. What I would recommend is try pushing the button. When you push a button, a light should change, either come on or go off, or mm-hmm. or however that goes, and see what happens with that light. But I think under normal conditions, you would want the traction control to be on. You know, it's a benefit that they build into the vehicle, and I think you should take advantage of it.
Okay. Here's one we get pretty often. 2008 Mazda Tribute, last oil change, they put in synthetic oil. Can I safely change back to non-synthetic on my next oil change?
Yeah,
well, you can, right, if you want to.
I wouldn't, but
no.
You can. I think that, and actually, Denny, I think if you use synthetic oil and the longer mileage interval that we recommend here at Lloyd's, I think it's actually cheaper to use synthetic oil. If you're going to keep the car. So, I mean, it costs you more per oil change, but you don't need the oil changes as often. And I think it causes it to be actually cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. Please clarify, this listener says, what headlight setting should we all use during these dark days? I was told not to use the, quote, auto setting. I'm confused as I use auto all the time.
Well, I use auto all the time, too. And I think that's just fine. I think what they're talking about is when it's raining or snowing that you want your headlights on.
Yes.
Or, in fact, I think the law says your headlights need to be on.
For sure.
And so at that point, then you would need to switch it from auto if they're not on. But I think usually when it's that cloudy, they're on anyway. But if it's if they're not on, then switch it from auto to on, and then back again when the weather is clear.
A lot of people, and you see them too, driving here in inclement weather, whether it be snow or rain, they don't have their headlights on. Maybe some of them are thinking, well, it's automatic. I have like running lights or whatever. That should do it. But you don't have taillights when you don't turn on your headlights in inclement weather.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You don't have taillights, and you want the guy behind you to see
yes.
you for sure. That's a big deal.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. And you're right. It is a law. 2011 Lincoln MKS. This one says, right front strut needs replacement. I told both front struts should be replaced. Is that true?
I think that probably is true. A 2011, it's a 10-year-old vehicle. They both have a lot of miles on them. And if you put one in, it's going to perform in tip-top, you know, it's going to have tip-top performance like it did when it was new. And the other one is not, just because it's 10 years old and has a lot of bumps in it. So I think, yes, I would replace both of them at the same time.
Okay. Now we're coming up to a break here for a look at the CCO forecast. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be any kind of a motorhead or gearhead to ask some major technical question. If you have an issue with your vehicle, your personal vehicle, call Dan or text Dan at 651-461-9226. Dan will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So don't wait. Let's hear from you on this Saturday. And by the way, next week is Christmas Day. We will not. We'll be totally Christmas programming here on WCCO. So we'll return the following Saturday, which is, I think, Dan, going to be New Year's Day, if my calculations are correct. A brand new day.
Yeah, that'll be just fine. Year. Another new year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's do this. Let's take a break. And keep in mind, too, that at 10 o'clock this morning, Ask the Vet. Dr. Gene Geske, veterinarian, will be with us that particular hour from 10 to 11. So if you have a pooch or cat at home and you need some advice, you can ask the vet in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns, who is right there at Lloyd's Automotive as we speak on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, we have some folks to help out here at 651-461-9226. Dan's going to be with us for about another 10 minutes, so don't wait. If you have any kind of an issue with your car, truck, or van, and you want to find out what's going on, call us or text us. Same number, 651-461-9226. All right, Dan, here's one. Texter says, I have a 2008 Chrysler Town & Country, 205,000 miles on it, and when I turn on the heater, I get a burning smell, like hot wax and burning rubber smell that is so strong that I have to open both windows to keep from choking from it. What could that be coming from?
Well, I don't know what it could be coming from for sure, but I would suspect there's something in the, maybe something in the heat duct or from like from the defroster that has ran down into the ductwork. And when you turn on the heat, it's getting hot enough to burn it off. I hope that it's not a wiring problem that you're smelling. That, you know, an electrical type wiring smell where the coating is burning off of a wire. But I would probably suggest that you bring that in pretty quickly and get some help on that. Have a professional take a smell and see what they think it is and see what they can do to help you take care of that.
Okay. Here's another question we get quite often about oil. Texter says, can I switch to synthetic, 120,000 miles on my F-150? Always have used a blend. You can always use synthetic, right? Am I right on that?
You can. And, you know, over the years, motor oil has changed anyway. And so pretty much all oil is a synthetic blend now anyway, because the refining process has gotten so efficient. So, yeah, you can use synthetic oil. You can switch back and forth and the car will love it. It'll be just fine.
Very good. Years back, this listener says, I had a fuel problem. The garage replaced the fuel pump. Same issues. Took it back, got a second fuel pump, same issues. They put in a third fuel pump, and it worked. First two were bad pumps. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, I've seen it.
You have?
It certainly can be the case in that call we had earlier, first thing this morning, about the fuel problem. That could be it. But the way to nail that down, as I had said in that call, is to actually check the fuel pressure and see if the fuel pressure is poor. And if the fuel pressure is poor, then there is a chance that the new fuel pump is just faulty. Because the fuel pump is certainly what creates pressure. So that's why I would do the diagnostics on it.
Okay, here's a topic we haven't talked about in a bit. But this listener says, my catalytic converter was stolen off my Honda Odyssey after replacing it. I now see they are suggesting painting them with a high-heat paint. How will that prevent someone from stealing it?
I don't know. I don't quite understand that either, because the whole catalytic converter thing that has been going on depends on the integrity of the person that's buying the catalytic converters. And if there's somebody out there that has a criminal instinct and they're going to process the catalytic converters, whether they're painted or not, then I don't think painting it's going to do it much good.
But there are other, what's the term, engraving of some, number or some identification.
Catalytic converters all have an identification stamped into them. And somewhere, I mean, we process catalytic converters, and we always find them. They're there somewhere. So, that's just doesn't seem to be making the difference. Again, it's the integrity of the person that's processing them, and if they're willing to still process them, then even though they know they're stolen, then that's not going to do any good. What we have done is. Several manufacturers have come up with a shield that we install around the catalytic converter or around the pipe that makes it not impossible, but way more difficult to steal a catalytic converter. And oftentimes the thief will see that and they'll just move on to the next vehicle.
Because they want to get in and out of there with their Sawzall real fast, right? Or whatever.
That's correct. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. So if you make it a little more difficult, they'll just give up on it.
Here's an interesting one, Dan. This is directed to you. Dan, I have enjoyed listening to you, and you have my utmost respect. How about that?
Wow, thank you.
I myself, this texter says, have just retired as a fellow shop owner. We have referred as many of our customers as I could to you before closing the doors. It's a father-son business since 1947, and this texter says they're heading for warmer weather. You can relate to that.
I sure can relate to that, yeah. And well, thank you for that. I appreciate all the referrals, and good luck to you in your retirement.
That's great. Yeah, good going. Congratulations. We still have time for one or two more here. Let's see. Do I have a 2015 Dodge Journey? Texter says there is a growing noise coming from the rear. I looked at the tires. They look in good shape. Is there a wheel bearing in the rear that could be bad?
There is for sure, and I didn't hear you say what kind of car it
was. It's a Dodge Journey 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, that for sure could be the case.
Okay. Let's see. One more do we have time for? Recently, texter says, I had a rear brake caliper seize up on my 2004 Ford F-150. Since then, I have heard of the same thing happening to others. Do you think it's from not having a brake fluid flush done? Would you talk about brake fluid flushing? Love the show.
Yeah, well, brake fluid flushing is on most manufacturers' recommended maintenance. And so, yes, you should have your brake fluid flushed. And certainly, anytime we do brake work that opens up the hydraulic system, in other words, if you replace a caliper or a wheel cylinder or a brake line or something like that, we would certainly flush the brake fluid and put new brake fluid in at that time. And so, yes, you should have flushed the brake fluid, but I doubt if that had anything to do with the new caliper failing. I think that you just probably got a bad caliper and need to change it again.
All right. Let's do one more, and then we have to scoot, make way for Jack Farrell. It's a 2019 Camry. Has one tire pressure gauge showing warning at 32, which is normal. How do I turn it off?
Well, on Toyotas, oftentimes there's a button that you have to push to recalculate or recalibrate the sensors, and maybe it's that. But what I would recommend is just look in your owner's manual, see what that procedure is, see what. If you look under the TPM, the tire pressure monitoring system light, it'll give you a description of how it works and when it works and what you do to reset it after you put the proper air pressure in. And I think you're probably not resetting it like you're supposed to.
Hmm. All right. Very good. Dan, we have to head out of here, make way for Jack Farrell. But for those folks that maybe need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Let me again wish you and your family and all the good folks at Lloyd's Automotive a very Merry Christmas. We'll have the day off a week from today, Dan, so we'll talk to you 2 weeks from today and wish you a Happy New Year at that time. So
that sounds perfect. Thanks so much, Denny.
Thank you very much, Dan. Have a great holiday. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Now, in a moment, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Following Jack at 8 o'clock after the news, we're going to have our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney will be answering your lawn and garden questions. And then as an added feature, at 10 o'clock this morning, you can ask the vet. Veterinarian Dr. Gene Geske will be joining us in the 10 o'clock hour. We're already getting questions to ask the vet. So get those lawn and garden questions ready after Jack Farrell, and then home improvement questions at 9, and then ask the vet at 10. 16 degrees here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.